thank you very much. I was trying to say, I love to hear it. Box and box and box. Brad's not the only loyal American here, is he? We're all excited and interested in that music. Tough sometimes to separate myself from being an American and a Christian because I get to thinking they're all rolled together. They're really not, but God has blessed our country. God has used us to reach around the world, and so somewhere in there lies the truth, and so we get excited about that. Amen. And I'm excited about today. We have several that are out and about doing their thing, which will be the case in summertime, whether I like it or not. Right? You're going to go whether I like it or not. Everybody say amen. Brother Gary and Paul are going off to Tucson tomorrow. Is that right? How disgusting. And without me. And we wish them well. The good thing is they're going off on Monday and coming back on Saturday. Oh, you can't get any better than that. So there's no, you know, no missing of the boat going on. We appreciate that. Yes, the baccalaureate is Wednesday. A few of us need to help drag some tables out so they're set up. Our lone senior is gone today. Our baccalaureate speaker is gone today. But you're here, and we will be on tape. And this tape's quite the thing. It goes beyond we here in Belt. And Taylor even got to see himself on tape, didn't you, Taylor? He said, "Would you tell me it wasn't as bad as you thought?" Yeah, well, it... It's quite confronting to see oneself and hear oneself and find yourself saying, I wish I hadn't said this, I wish I hadn't done that, but that be the case. When I was a younger lad, I lived 10 different neighborhoods in Great Falls. At one time I lived, well, in Riverview, but my Saturday night consisted of watching Lawrence Welk, which I didn't really care for, and Gunsmoke, and then if we were really good, Paladin. Anybody remember Paladin? What a guy, huh? My mother didn't think he was too Christian, so we didn't always get to see that. But after that, it was take a bath, and then it was into your room and polish your shoes for church. Boy, talk about the old days, huh? Do you know when I knew that our retired brigadier general was coming? You know what I was doing last night? I went over and over. I saw that. That's good. I'm on top. I'm on top. I can hardly see straight here. And what's with this spit shine stuff? Huh? Who invented that? Is that really something people do? Is it you really spit and it gets better? Well, I'll be switched. I'm not sure. I tried that and kind of a mess going on. 25 years ago and almost 2 months was the last time Brad and I were together. 25 years ago, we were together in a little church in north side of Great Falls and going good, and then it went hit some rough water. How many ever heard of churches hitting rough water? Occasionally. But I cannot tell you what a joy it is to have this young man back here. I know he looks like he's my son. He's actually just... was a sophomore at, sure, she's gone when I, every time I want to rub it in, he's a sophomore at CMR when I was a senior, even though he looks much younger, and came up to the ranks, if I remember right, we buried your father and developed a relationship, and I saw Brad from a distance, didn't quite know who he was, except his hair was never out of place. That was irritating, you know what I'm saying? Like, never. And the more I got to watch Brad and his wife, watch what happened in his life, he's going to tell you he doesn't like titles. I mean, he's got titles coming out of his. Never mind. I was trying to think of that. You were the administrator of disaster and emergency services or something, state of Montana, head of the... Chamber of Commerce in Great Falls. Brigadier, retired brigadier, used to run all the jets up there and went off to Helena where they just sit around and drink coffee, I understand. So it was quite the deal. But he's what touches my heart is his genuine friendship. Genuine friendship, genuine humility, genuine leadership. What we're trying to project to our fellowship is that, yes, we're a fellowship here, but we are part of the bigger picture of the kingdom of God. We have friends and relatives that come to our fellowship here and strengthen us, minister to us from all around the state of, well, Montana and other places. And I want you to feel that you are connected to all of these ministries, including my brother Brad, who's here today just to share his heart. He doesn't need a pulpit. He doesn't need a microphone. He just needs to be turned loose, and I'm going to do that at this very time. However, I know he won't like this, but would you stand just for a minute, and let's welcome Brad Livingston to it. Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
I told Mark I'm a walker and a talker, so I'll move this over here. So let me just tell you who I am. I'm Brad Livingston, the son of Wayne and Myrna Livingston, husband of Diane Livingston, and my son is TJ. And Mark is right. You know, man gives us a lot of titles, but ultimately what the title matters is when we go to heaven. And so I've been thinking about what am I supposed to share with you today? You know, I'm very aware that man can give you a message, but then God will give you a better message. And so while I'm talking, please pray that the words that I have to say isn't necessarily mine, but what God wants me to share with you. And so I really do believe he wants me to start at the beginning. So I started out as a child in Gray Falls, Montana. And I would say for the first 10 years, life was very normal for me. You know, basically, I grew up in a household that had both parents at home in a nice neighborhood, and we got to do a lot of things that kids in that era did, ride our bikes everywhere in Gray Falls. No cell phone, no checking in on you and stuff. You just had to be home by 5 o'clock for dinner. And it was a good life. But then, candidly, when I was in eighth grade, my father, drinking got a little too much, and it ended up, he left the house for a while. And so, as an eighth grader, it was devastating. I mean, I got to admit that. But here's what I'm going to talk about, that God puts paths, forks in the road in front of us. And so, at that particular time, I probably was more receptive to another male's relationship in my life. And so, at school, actually, a classmate of mine says, hey, want to come to Grace Baptist this week? There's a special we're having there, you know, something. And I thought about it, and I said yes. And then later I thought, oh, I don't really want to go, but if there's one thing I learned early in my life, then when you give somebody your word, you need to follow through with it. And so the conviction of God was probably very strong in that moment, and so I ended up showing up at Grace Baptist, heard the call, went forward, and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. So that's a fork in the road. My father leaves. How was that going to play out? God put this young man in my life with his father, and I came to know the Lord. And so as we started my journey, and things again kind of calmed down in the household, my father returned back. As a junior, it happened again. And so as a junior, and I was talking to Emily about, you know, do you know what you want to do? And when you're in high school, it's still a struggle. What am I going to do? What am I going to do when I grow up? What am I going to be? And so senior year, my mom and my uncle, the CMR, the CMR, exactly, and it indicated that you might be interested in this thing called the Montana Air National Guard. Well, remember, this is the 72. This is after Vietnam is wrapping up. You know, the military wasn't necessarily, a lot of high school kids, the coolest thing to join. So I went up, took the test in June after I graduated, and then said, no thanks. And I had some graduation money, and I had a job at a drugstore in Gray Falls. And I thought, well, this will be kind of fun just to have a good time this summer. And I readily admit, I had a good time. Great job. Had to show up at work at noon, work till 9, get off, cruise the drag in Gray Falls, sleep in. And the life of a graduated senior was pretty good. Well, once again, God enters my life and brings this young lady that I eventually married, and I met her, of all places, cruising the drag. And so that fall, I decided, well, if I am going to be eventually marrying this young lady, I probably better have a better job than working at the drugstore. So I joined the Montana Air National Guard in January of 1973. If you're doing math, I was only 10 years of age at that time. And I thought, well, I'll only be here 6 years, and then I'll get out and I'll go do something else. Remarkable what the Montana Air National Guard did for me and did for many other individuals. It is one of the unbelievable organizations in this nation, and took this raw individual, me, and many others, and turned us into maybe something down the line. So the first 6 years, I was an enlisted member in the organization. And again, Diane and I got married in 75. Life was pretty good. Candidly, I was pretty comfortable in the role that I had. And I had an opportunity for a promotion to E6 in the military. And the wing commander denied that, saying that I was not mature enough. He was right. But of course, you know, this is another one of those forks in the road that God put in there and goes, okay, so thank you for the counsel. Sometimes you got to hear bad things, you know, not all the good things. Ironically, a few months later, the director of personnel position came open at the Air National Guard. It was a commissioned officer position, and I had not gone to college. And the last day that the job was open, this gentleman, who I owe a lot to, he was a senior NCO in our jet engine shop, came over to visit me. I was working in the training office. After we concluded our business, he says, hey, young man, you gonna apply for that job? And I says, oh, senior, I can't apply for that job. I don't have a college degree. I'm not qualified for it. And as he went out the door, he goes, you're right, you won't be able to get that job if you don't apply. Now, he didn't know me. I didn't particularly know him. But that comment is not an accident. God put in something in him to say that. So I quickly put together my worst resume I ever had, and God was there. And I was selected for this commission officer position. Again, just a few months before that, the same wing commander said, you're not ready for tech sergeant, but we'll go ahead and make you a second lieutenant. And so, yeah, tells you a little something about that, doesn't it? And so it was given an assignment of a personnel office that was not in the best of shape. And I think that God has put in me an ability to take broken organizations and help them get back on track again. And that was my first 10 years in the military, was going from section to section and working with the individuals and helping them put their act together again, for no better term. Ironically, in that same decade of the 80s, I happened to run into this church called Calvary and started attending this church and met this gentleman to my left, your right, and, you know, formed a relationship of that. Now, I will tell you, in this area, you all know the four H's, right? I want to give you something that I try to keep in my mind, the four F's: faith, family, friends, and then finances. And I will tell you through this testimony, I have not always been true to my faith, and oftentimes not even been putting my family and my friends at first. Candidly, a lot of times it was finances. It was the career. That was important to me. And so in the 80s, it was a very busy time for me because I had to go get my college degree. They were going to make sure that that was done. So working full-time, college degree, still having a little fun, but it was a busy, busy time. And then going literally from area to area at the Montana National Guard, working and fixing organizations. My head got a little too big for me. And candidly, I needed some humbling. And so in 1988, I applied for a position. All the other ones I was reassigned to. We want you to go here. So I didn't have to make a decision. You know, God was moving me here. But this one, I don't think I sought God's will. I applied for a position that really was more for a senior officer, not for a junior captain. And the new wing commander said, no, you're not ready for it. While it upset me a little bit at that time, it humbled me also, realizing that, wait a minute, life is a marathon, not a sprint. So take your time, learn what God wants you to do, And so for the next 4 or 5 years, I continued to go from area to area working with them. And eventually, God did provide that position, but at the right time when I was mature. I will share that two things in the 90s really impacted me. And one was, again, Mark and Associate Pastor Dan Wegeman. My wife and I thought we were never going to have children. Initially, she did not want to have children. And, you know, we'll see, you know, and stuff. She was pretty true for the first 10 years and stuff. And yet she went to work for an organization in Great Falls called QLC, Quality Life Concepts, which helps special needs individuals. And what she saw there, what God showed her, the love of a parent, it changed her heart. And I'll just leave it as that. I mean, it was just remarkable that, again, another path, another fork in the road. Why QLC anywhere else? Because God had this all orchestrated. He had it all planned ahead of time. In fact, I'm remiss, you know, some of the verses that we all know, that God already has set our path, our destiny. What we have to do is live God's destiny, not man's destiny. And I've not always been good about that. And as I reflect back, and that's one of the beautiful things that Pastor Mark does to me, he makes me think back. And so this whole last couple of weeks have been about who in my life, what events in my life, and actually, in some cases, gone back and called a couple of individuals, and I just want you to know, thank you for what you did in my life. And they go, I don't even remember that, but okay, but I sure do. And so we heard that the associate pastor, Dan, had a gift that he could pray for couples to conceive. Well, if you know my wife, she's a very shy individual, and getting her to go in front of the congregation was like unbelievable, but she did, and almost 9 months later, our one and only child was born. And so, you know, I look back again, and so if we had not gone to Calvary, if we had not followed to Hilltop, if we had not done some of these things, then maybe we wouldn't have a child. But God, and I got to tell you, I am not the best in listening, but it's amazing what he did for me by setting individuals in my life to do that. And then the other event was going to an Appenthal, and I'm sure most of you in here know what an Appenthal, but it's a two-day retreat at the Ursuline Center, Glenn Krebs. And again, it was actually a lieutenant colonel in the guard invited me, and I'm going, I'm cool. I got it. I know all the right words and then all that good stuff. You know, you got to come. Okay, once again, made that yes answer, and then later try to get out of it, but you got to keep your word. And so at the end of the Appenthal, you're asked to pick a verse that you think that represents your time there or what means to you. And so I'm sitting there going, well, nothing really comes to my mind, so I'll just open up my Bible and take my finger and do this. So let me open this real quickly here. So it's John 12, 23. At this time, I'm a lieutenant colonel. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And that stuck with me for the rest of my life, that I needed to humble myself, that it's not about Brad, and that's why, you know, I do dislike my titles, only from the standpoint people think you're something, and I'm telling you who the real Brad is. You know, those were man-made titles, but the real Brad is just like any one of us in this room, with struggles, trying to get through life, trying to figure out where you need to go. But after that verse in 1974, you know, I felt that God was, humble yourself. I would talk to my airmen every time I stood up, the golden rule, practice the golden rule, treat each other with respect and dignity. And we can go a long ways in the military, in our congregations, in our country, if we learn just to treat each other with respect and dignity. And so I did get that job that I was talking about, and I thought I had the ultimate job, and it was a pretty cool job. And then three wise men came from Helena and knocked at my door, The first individual said, and right after 9/11, matter of fact, that the adjutant general, which is the commanding general of the Montana National Guard in the state, wants you to come down and work for him. And I said, well, I don't have that call from God yet. And I knew he was a believer, too, so I'm not sure if I was being totally honest on that aspect. But I said, I really like what I'm doing. The family, my wife's mom, still alive, you know, on and on and on. I prefer to stay here. Thank you very much. A few months later, the second wise man came and said the same pitch. And I go, you know, I prayed about it. I just don't get that feeling. And so I appreciate if you just share with the adjutant general, if I could stay here, I'd love that. And then Diane's mom passed away. And so the third wise man came a couple months later and says, hey, same pitch. And I go, and he goes, you know, you don't tell the adjutant general no three times. And I go, got it. And I said, I do believe, I do have a piece about it that Diane's mom has passed away. And so from that aspect, it, so in 2003, we packed up and went to Helena. It's not a great distance, but nevertheless, it was 90 miles that we didn't travel very often to see family and friends. But on the other hand, it gave me an opportunity as a father and a husband to do a better job. So the position I had, I made this choice. We had no friends in Helena. Could not have any friends because I was selecting the staff for the adjutant general. So any friendship that I had would be perceived as, you know, bias or, you know, favoritism or things of that nature. So I'd go to work at Old Dark 30. That's military talk. go home at Old Dark after that. But then the rest of the time was with my wife and my son and walking in Mount Helena and stuff. And I think, again, from a God point of view, I needed that because Great Falls had so many distractions for me, friends, family, all the rest of the stuff. This gave us a chance as a couple and a son, father, to develop a stronger relationship. And that carried me through until 2008 when they finally said, okay, we appreciate you wanting to live here, but we want to go home. We want to go back to Great Falls. So we moved back to Great Falls in 2008, and then I drove to Helena every day for 7 years after that because I loved the job. I loved the National Guard, and I loved the men and women, and what I had an opportunity in Helena to actually become the Army's chief of staff. I mean, I ended up not only the Air Guard, but the Army National Guard's chief of staff, and 3,500 soldiers and airmen throughout the state were my children. And that's kind of the way I saw it, is that, you know, trying to help them in any way. And another God thing I thought was quite remarkable as I was reflecting is at Fort Harrison, there's a chapel in name, not necessarily in attendance. And the chaplain came to visit me early on when I was down there and said, or, you know, tell me a little bit about you. And I said, well, I'm a believer and blah, blah, blah. And so how come I don't see a chapel? And I go, well, because you have it at 9 o'clock on Sundays. And honestly, that's prime training time. Every hour that a guardsman's at drill that weekend, we gotta be doing training. And I said, tell you what, you do it at 7:30, and I will be there. And he says, I'll change it to 7:30. And because I was the senior officer short of the adjutant general, my attendance at chapel started bringing these hardcore Army colonels and lieutenant colonels and majors to church. And that transformation over that period of time, and they were, some of them were believers, but it just, we all got out of the habit of making excuses that, well, I don't have time for church this time and stuff. And I just look back, you know, I'd get there and show up, and I'd be one of the first at the front there, and you look back and you go, wow. And then one day, the adjutant general showed up, and he started attending. So again, God just opens up. Would I have done it on my own? Maybe not. But the chaplain comes over, puts out a challenge. I counter with a time change, and here we go. So when I did leave the National Guard, I have to admit there was a little bit of sadness about, now what do I do, Alfie? And had the opportunity a couple months later. I don't sit well. I'm a type A, firstborn. And so I have a tendency of wanting to be active in doing stuff. And I do reflect that I think that you spend a third of your life learning, and I think you spend the next part of your life earning, and then the last part of your life is serving. And so I think that's the mission I'm on right now, that God has me, is serving. And so I did spend a year, as Mark indicated, as the administrator for emergency management for the state of Montana. Cool job, 56 counties, 7 tribal nations. I tell the story, if you want a tough job, try to get all those counties and all those tribal nations to agree upon anything. But we did. 1 year later, we wrote the first comprehensive state emergency management plan. And why? The golden rule. I'd walk in every meeting and look at people. I'm going to treat them as an equal, treat them with respect, Native Americans, small counties, little counties, big counties, and it worked. And I don't have to tell you that. It's biblical. God tells us to do that. That's really what life is all about. And then I did take a short moment of insanity and try to run for public office in Great Falls, and I'm kind of glad I didn't get elected, but it sure gave me appreciation what's going on in the community. And that's my last part of this, is that we have a lot of needs in our country. We have a lot of needs in our state, in our communities. A lot of hurting people. And churches are, you know, filling the gap, but there's a lot of other organizations out there trying to do the same thing. The Rescue Mission in Great Falls, you know, what a wonderful, wonderful organization and what they do. And this building of the Cameron facility and for families is pretty awesome. But we as a country have got to address and tackle the addiction issue. It's huge. The number of young men and women in schools right now that are homeless would just frighten you. And I'll tell you a figure, in Great Falls, it's 350 kids who are homeless and yet trying to go through school. You know, they're couch surfing, friends, maybe an aunt or something of that nature. School district is feeding kids in the summertime because the parents are absent, you know, from doing that. It just crushes your heart. And so obviously we pray, you know, for our community and for those individuals. And I was naive, and I readily admit that. You know, I had this nice job and a nice home, and I got in a car every day and drove to that nice gated community called a military facility where everybody looked like me and talked like me and acted like me. And then you get out in the real world and you go, wow. And so while a lot of people in this nation are still very, it's humbling for us that, you know, thank the military. There's a lot of other people out there like first responders and others that we ought to be thanking too. Social workers, our teachers are under attack in respect to not only just from what they have to do and the pay and there have to be the parents of a lot of these children nowadays. And they need our prayers and they need our lifting up. For the first time in many, many years, Great Falls Public Schools weren't able to fill all their school or their teacher positions, and they usually had a waiting list. And, you know, some of that, again, is just the expectation of people about what teachers should be doing, when in fact we should have a greater expectation of what parents ought to be doing. So I thank you for allowing me to kind of share the story. And the message there is that there are people in your life, at the end of the day, your life, you got to look back and go, it wasn't me. It was God and a bunch of other individuals that he put in our life. But in turn, what's my purpose? To be that same bridge to a lot of other individuals, to be to Emily. You know, you can do it, Emily. You got this and stuff. And, you know, I smile because she was so bold today. You know, most people, one, well, that's an old dude over there. I'm not going to go talk to him and stuff. Something like that, that she came up and introduced herself, and and they said, what's your name? And I, well, I apologize, Emily. I forgot to tell you my name and stuff. So, Emily, I want to do this for you. In the military, you've heard military coin, and I had a commander's coin. And so when somebody did something really special, you gave this individual a coin. You presented a coin. Exactly, yeah. And on the front side was my two ranks, the first rank I had as a young airman and the last rank when I left as a senior airman. And then it's got the seal of the state of Montana. So, Emily, you have to stand, and we have to shake hands, and there you go. So thank you very much. So, Emily, you have to carry that all the time, because if we should come upon each other again, the deal is we take out our coin and we clink it on something. And if you don't have your coin and I do that, you have to buy me my favorite beverage, or I have to buy you your favorite beverage and stuff. But that's the military tradition on that. Again, thank you very much. I really appreciate, you know, because I got more out of this today than I think you probably did, because it gave me a chance to go back and reflect. You're running at a high pace in life, and you sometimes don't appreciate those individuals who meant something in your life. And I think, honestly, we should take some time every once in a while and just say, hey, thank you. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for what you've done in my life or somebody else's life. Because I'm hoping there are other people out there for my son, your sons and daughters, and that we, as again, as a country, can return back to being civil and practicing the golden rule. Thanks again.